Happy Tuesday, June 19th on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Here he is. Ira, how are you today?
I miss football. I don't care if it's underwear football. It's still football. You know, we got 5 long weeks ahead of us. This is the time people's going on vacation, this and that. But it's also the time the Joe Buck fan keeps going, cranking out stories. 3 columns of mine a week, 2 podcasts, the 3 of us. We don't quit.
I know what I'm going to be doing.
I don't know if I want to know about this.
Well, there'll be, I won't say a book review, but I've talked to an author of a book that highlighted Jameis in his book. And I will be writing excerpts of that book. I got permission from the author.
You don't miss a trick, man. You don't miss
dramatic
a trick.
Excerpts, Ira. How about that?
Dramatic.
And speaking of dramatic, we're presented by the great dealerships Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Get more peace of mind knowing every certified Cadillac comes with a 6-year warranty, roadside assistance, and more. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. All like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Because if it has our name on it, we have our word on it. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. We'll talk a little more about Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa later, Ira.
This is a special podcast, right, Steve? You haven't mentioned that. Special.
Well, you know, the folks saw that on the headline. This is a special podcast, and we've got a lot of people fired up about this. Donovan Smith, Buccaneers left tackle, sat down with us after June minicamp, finished up. Thankfully, he got in the shower and sat down with us for quite a while, and we got to chat, and we got it all here.
You know, Lee, the first year and a half, maybe 2 years, Donovan Smith was here, didn't miss a game, you know, didn't miss a freaking Sunday. But I don't remember going over to his locker very often. Not very often. That's because Gosner Cherilis was over there, you know, watching like a hawk, and I didn't want to get on his wrong side. But you had DeMar Dotson, Mark Pett. You got some good talkers. But, Steve, I got to say, in the last few months, maybe towards the end of last season and certainly during this offseason, Donovan Smith, very affable, very smart, articulate, very visible in the community. I'm going to make it a point to visit Donovan Smith's locker quite a bit this fall.
I got a Gosner Cherilis story for you. I can't remember because I know it was tight times at the Tribune, and at one point they quit sending.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know all too well. Your loss, our gain, because you're not with us now. I don't think you went to the game in New Orleans the night before Christmas when Doug Martin was a healthy scratch.
I did not.
Okay.
Go.
Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Or a muscle hamster. And anyway, so obviously that, you know, that story broke right before game time. So after the game, the Bucks lost, and that basically knocked them out of the playoffs. And I went into old school journalism mode. And what I mean by that was the game, everybody knew what happened. The Bucks lost. That was not the story. The story was Doug Martin. Why was he a healthy scratch? So, again, I went into journalism one-on-one
mode. The suspension had already been announced.
No, it had not.
But he was eligible, I think.
No, it was just the opposite.
Are you sure?
I am positive because we found out 2 days later why he wasn't playing. He was suspended. But that was not known at the time. And so I went into journalism one-on-one mode. I didn't give a damn about anything else. Everybody knew the score of the game. They knew the Bucks lost. They knew the playoffs were likely history. That wasn't the story. The story was Doug Martin because that directly impacted the game. And I actually was the first to talk to Doug Martin. He wouldn't say much. Then I went in the locker room, and I was trying to find out what was going on. And I remember asking Joe Hawley 5 or 6 different questions, and Hawley was sort of answering, sort of dodging. And I was pressing him, but to this day, I thought I was above board. I thought I was professional. I did not think I was obnoxious in any way. There was a Bucks media representative nearby, as they always are. He had no words of restraint. But Gosner Cherilis is right behind Hawley, and he was yelling at me and staring at me, get away, shut up, that's enough. I mean,
that's an Anthony Collins move right there.
And he was in, obviously, with his size, it was very intimidating, and I just kept asking Hawley, because I've always been, even when I was in college, what are these guys going to do? Punch me? Well, then I'll own their home. And so,
Wait a minute. Steve, who do we like in a Cherilis DeKemper throwdown match?
Oh, Cherilis one
do you have some Vegas odds preliminary on that one?
Well, yeah, it's all Cherilis. But at any rate, I remember walking away from that. Cherilis was yelling at me to shut up, leave Hawley alone, go mind your own business. I mean, he was all over me. And Cummings, Roy Cummings even said they were way out of line by Chehalis. Well, at any rate, I walked away and I was interviewing someone else. And I kind of looked over my shoulder, and Chehalis was screaming at Chris King, one of the representatives, media representatives with the Bucks, and he's pointing at me, and he's yelling and hollering, and King basically told him, hey, he did nothing
That's a guy who doesn't get it, Steve. He doesn't get it, and he's not around here anymore.
Well, I just to round out that story, you were working with us at that time, Ira.
But back I was in, not in New Orleans.
Back in 16, right. You were actually on your couch mowing down tater tots.
What do you mean? I had a post-game column to write with 10 takeaways.
After the tater tots and your wife's
My
making...
second takeaway is bravo, Chehalis, for chewing out the Kemper.
The frozen pizza is all done. You're like, all right, I got to get some work done. Yeah, it's almost 2 years now that you've been here at JoeBucksFan.com. The other day, Ira asked me, he says... what are we doing for that?
I ain't gonna market, Lee. You know, next month.
I have a couple of ideas actually, so we'll have some fun with that.
Then I got a birthday in August. You know, it's got a big summer coming up there, Lee. Big summer.
Number 95. So, Ira, this week at minicamp, we got a chance to have the indoor practice on Wednesday, which was
a
surprise.
That was my first time in there.
Oh, is that right?
My first time in there.
Yes, you were scolded by Buccaneers for saying that because you don't come out to Friday walkthrough. No reason why you would, but they've been doing it indoors. So anyway, so there's a lot of fans inside there and a lot of fans yelling Irv, Sage, Ira's star of the place, no doubt. Everywhere he's going, hey, Ira. And one guy comes up to me, Diesel, he goes by. He's like, yo. And he just says some colorful language that I won't use here. And he's saying, lay off Sage.
Yeah. He chewed out his bits. I was really cheering him on.
He had me going for like 4 seconds. And he's like, oh, man, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I love you guys. And I took a picture of him and threw that up on Twitter. But so we're sitting in the stands, Lee. And this kid turns out he's a teenager. I thought he was a little bit older, but I had my glasses on.
I thought he was totally into practice, watching practice.
Yeah, this kid. No, this is different. Kid. This is a kid sitting there, teenager, turns around. Irv, hey.
How's it going, Irv?
Yeah, how's it going, Irv? And Ira's response, after maybe 5 seconds, that's Sage to you, young man.
I was stunned. And last week at the final day, which was Thursday, I'm walking by and some guy goes, love you on the Mad Dog, Ira. Love you. So I tell him, hey, how come I'm not on all year long? Well, what's going on? He goes, I don't know, man. He's making a big mistake. I said, why don't you call him and tell him that? it can't be the money. I'm not making that much money off the Mad Dog, Lee.
The young man liner reminds me of a Howard Cosell story that literally happened. It was in Al Michaels' book. They're going to a Royal, they're covering the Royals, playoff game, what, 80s? they're going through kind of a gnarly area, an urban area, and they see two kids, fighting. And Cosell demands that the chauffeur pull us over, and, Al Michaels, what's going on here? So he pulls over.
Don't tell me he called them two pugilists or something.
Well, Cosell gets out of the car and goes up and starts talking to these guys. He scolds one of them that he shouldn't be fighting him. He goes, the Southpaw does not have the requisite jab.
And that's why Cosell's Cosell. You love him or you hate him, but you have an opinion, Steve.
I got you, Ira. I got you. All right, that was
unlike the way people look at you. You're bland, and you don't stand out. Nobody has anything to say about
low profile.
You.
Here's
low profile.
One Ira probably found out. You probably found out when they moved the practice indoors. And how pleasant was that? Practice in air conditioning.
Catherine Smith was doing benedictions to the gods because she only lasts about a minute and a half out in that hot sun before she's a puddle.
Yeah.
She's a puddle. And she's fair skinned.
Yeah, so am I. But
and she loved.
Where's this going?
She's fair. That's all. Well, that's as far as I'm going.
I think I told you this. As Cutter was walking off the field after practice to do his what we call a stand up at the podium, his interview, his press conference, and I said, "Thanks for the AC, Dirk." And he looked at me and smiled. He goes, "Thank the Glazers."
Absolutely.
But with that indoor facility, and this is going to get fans worked up. The soon to be takeover. The commission's takeover.
Yes.
The stick carrier takeover.
Which is a date to be determined.
Wait, let me help you. The training camp takeover.
Yes. Training, okay. Yes. Do you imagine how loud that's going to be in there? If they have it inside?
Maybe we should try to make it inside.
Oh, my gosh.
Steve will use his influence on Cutter that day and get him to move it indoors.
Well, the place is almost all metal. And it's, well, holds what, 2,500, maybe 3,000? It's
supposed to be 3,000.
Good place for a Bette Midler concert. You know, the acoustics are very
but
good in there.
If they put all the stick carriers in there, they'll fill that place up. Holy smokes, that would be loud.
I got you on that one, Isbeth.
That'll be a perfect time to practice the silent counts.
Yeah, I've got the audio now, so I've got you on that one. Oh, my gosh.
By the way, they did a great job on the indoor facility. That's not done on the cheap.
No, and that was the Glazers. They paid for the 100%, right?
And when did the three of us know that thing was gonna be a reality? When Jameis Winston, on the day that he came to Tampa, which was the day after that draft, mm-hmm. they brought him in, and they after he went to the podium, he came into the media room, and we were asking him questions, and I think I might have asked it, and I said, "What about an indoor facility, Jameis? You know, we've been talking about it around here for a long time." Winston looked at me and goes, "That will get done." That was the day I knew it was a done deal. What Jameis wants, Jameis gets.
All right, Ira, we've been going 11, 12 minutes already, and I don't think I've said that I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper, of course, is the other, the million-dollar voice here.
They know our voices by now.
And no, you know, every week we have new listeners to the podcast, new people checking in. We have to be cognizant of them, Ira.
And the irreplaceable, irresistible voice of Ira.
Well, we introduced the sage, of course. That's how we start.
Hold on. May I start with a story?
No.
Yes.
Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, these are three places to subscribe to the podcast, and that it just means you get an alert. So when you're on the beach on a Thursday afternoon in July on the tennis court, your phone's going to buzz. Hey, I got a new Sage podcast to listen to on the way home. Much better than most of the other stuff you can listen to out there. So we appreciate that. And go back. If you haven't listened yet to Jameis Winston, he's on the podcast roll. A lot of good stuff. So take a peek back, free right there, especially at podbean.com on your desktop. You can just start listening. So go ahead. Here's a story. Give me us the story, Ira.
Our listeners love these stories, Lee. You know, these little insights into all of us. And I'm not proud of this story. I'm not proud, but you got a full disclosure, DeKemper. Transparency over here at Joe Bucks Fan. Here I am, you know, I'm 19 years old, I'm still living with my parents in a Brooklyn apartment.
Is this Muriel Berkowitz?
No, this ain't Muriel Berkowitz, this is better. I'm on the 15th floor, and across the street was a place called Trump Village, and yes.
That's his dad.
That was his dad's place in Brooklyn. And so anyway.
You can see it clearly from your apartment, from
yes,
the stoop?
Yes, absolutely.
The stoop.
So, you know, 570 WMCA, about powerful signal in New York. And John Sterling, who is now the voice of the Yankees, he had a radio show, you know, from, 7 to 9, a call-in show. So it was near Christmas. Now, I ain't celebrating Christmas. What do I know? Lucky I got a Christmas tree. So I called Sterling. I knew he was friends with this guy. Rod Thorne was the general manager of some ABA team in the St. Louis. So Marvin Barnes. They had a bunch
Marvin
of thugs.
Barnes.
They had a bunch of crazy. So anyway, I call up. I get right through. He goes, "Hey, we got Ira from Brooklyn. What's on your mind, Ira?" I go, "John, I know your buddies with Rod Thorne, but he's doing a lousy job with the spirit of St. Louis, mm-hmm. I think. And Bob Costas, I think, was their announcer.
He was.
Yeah, 19, whatever. So he goes, "Wait a minute." No, I'm not making this up. He goes, "Wait a minute. Here we are, 2 days before Christmas, and you're calling me to tell me that my buddy is doing a lousy job." He goes, "Let me tell you something. You have a shrill voice. You have a horrible voice. And I'm throwing you off the air, and Merry Christmas."
Oh.
So there you go. This voice that DeKemper describes as, instantly recognizable has been called shrill on a New York radio station.
That is too funny.
On a New York radio station.
On a New York radio station.
By the way, I can see that maybe on a Birmingham.
That's a beautiful word, eh, Steve? You have a shrill voice. You could use any word.
I can see someone from Birmingham saying that, or Austin, but New York. Real quick, Rod Thorne, did he not become the head of officiating for the NBA at one point?
Yeah, he got a big job. In
he used
the
to run the New Jersey Nets as well when
I
they
believe
were.
That's right. I have more of a Brooklyn accent after 30 years in Florida, I did when I was walking the
seriously
on Neptune Avenue. I don't understand how that could happen.
Next time, you'll tell the story of how Trump beat you in stickball back in 54.
But that's true. Trump Village was across the street. It might have been the very first big real estate deal by Fred Trump, Donald's father.
I've heard this from someone. You're on good standing with the Glazer family.
You could say that for the most part.
Well, I've been told that down in Palm Beach, it's a very cliquish. People hang together. And because of Mar-a-Lago is down there, that Team Glazer has known Mr. Trump, our 45th president, for decades.
Well, we know for a fact that Ed Glazer hosted a big fundraiser.
In California.
In California. At his own home.
Yes.
At his own home. Which was unusual, Steve, because the helicopters are flying over Ed Glazer's house and pictures. And
Black helicopters?
And they're very private, Steve. They're very private. So they had to know that that was going to happen. They invited that.
It reminds me of when you had the Newport Richey City Council over for hot dogs and knishes. All right, Ira, enough of this.
The Glazers are longtime pals of our 45th president.
Now, Lee mentioned the training camp takeover. I've got some news. The Buccaneers are going to be delaying. Normally, we would have training camp dates by now. But even by the time this podcast hits on Tuesday, I don't expect that we'll have training camp scheduled yet. There's a little delay in the release, so we don't have a training camp takeover date yet. But the commish and us, we are prepared to announce that quickly, and it's going to be a lot of fun. As far as indoor, I was also told that the Bucs aren't planning any indoor practices for fans per se, but you know, of course, schedule might dictate that with some reschedulings and stuff.
And weather.
And there is, I'm told, there is going to be this year a reservation system for tickets like there was several years ago, in part because of, well, if we do need the indoor facility and you know, some of the stands have changed. You've noticed they cleared out a bunch of trees, and the layout's going to be different. And, of course, the training camp takeover, which drew an extra 2,000 fans out here and was absolute mayhem. They had the fire marshals in here.
And Cutter loved it. They want to make every minute of it.
They want to make sure that they have a better handle on that when it happens. And so typically that's just a free ticket. A lot of teams do this. Jacksonville does this. You go to the website. You put your name in for a free ticket, you print it out, you come on out.
How do you think the 5-11 season would impact takeover day this summer in terms of the volume of fans that come out? You think people are bummed out or are they excited and it'll turn out in big numbers?
My initial take is that obviously it's the enthusiasm is going to be...
Tempered?
Tempered's a perfect word. Yes, tempered. But you never know. The stick carriers, it's a cult. And once the ball gets rolling, people want to be involved. They want to be in.
These are the diehards. Steve.
Yes,
these are the diehards.
Ira, I think it's going to be huge. I'll tell you why. One, because it's year two. When year one goes well and people have a good time and have fun, now they come out year two. And
word of mouth. Yeah.
In August, this is the season of hope, right? So if you're a fan, if you're not pumped up in August, then you're not a fan. So
Steve, they were recognized by coaches and players.
NFL
last year.
Network. Buccaneers.com did a feature, was talked everywhere. You know what? I think with a training camp takeover day, if you're coming out to camp, well, then that's your day. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun and absolutely crazy. And I know the commish has some wild things prepared. Speaking of wild things, Ira, fanretreat.com, text takeover to 345-345. That's the way to get all the details for the big stick carriers, fan retreat, Joe Bucks fan event heading out to New Orleans for opening day. You'll be able to get your flights and your hotel and all the info about the upcoming party. It's all coming down the pike, and it's going to be very exciting. Of course, fanretreat.com is where you can get all your event tickets, baseball, football, Bucks tickets. Right now, you can get Bucks tickets and use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. And hotels, you can book everything there, a one-stop shop. So fanretreat.com, Ira, I know you were just talking to Bucks officials
Steve,
today.
We just talked to a Buck executive today.
Who wants to come out the night before to visit or help us make the event even better.
And he thought the New Orleans game was the perfect opportunity.
And so, look, frankly, nothing's going to be better than you and the commish out there and Lee talking to the fans, getting them all fired up at the big party the night before. But text takeover, if you haven't done it yet, just to get information, 345-345. That's where you text it, and fanretreat.com is going to get right back, and we appreciate their support. So, Ira, the guest today, we all know who that is. It's Mr. Donovan Smith. We're going to get right to him. Glad we got a shot to sit down with him, talk to him a little bit. There's some stuff that we did cut out of this because some things weren't what Donovan wanted out there or the Bucks wanted out there. I like to make that open, everybody, but it's good background knowledge for us. Nothing sinister or nothing weird about Jameis or anything like that.
Some technical stuff.
We always try to...
Football technical X's and O's.
Yeah, we always try to accommodate when we can, and That's what we did. So here's Donovan Smith. As promised, here he is, the Buccaneers left tackle, Mr. Donovan Smith. He never misses a game, and he never misses an appearance on the Ira Kaufman podcast. It's his first shot. Donovan, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Donovan, I got to say, I paid the $75. I went to your charity event.
Appreciate it.
To snoop around. Yeah. Media guy, got to see what's going on. Great.
You know what it takes to get $75 out of Smith's pocket, Donovan?
What'd it take?
Oh, man, I've been asking him for 3 months. You don't come across.
Took $75. No big deal. Great cause, obviously, autism and all the research and support that's there. But, you know, I was really impressed. You know, I'm a skeptical guy sometimes, and here you are, a young guy, and you weren't just cutting a check and hanging out. You were like, you know, running around. You're talking to everybody. You're making sure everything's organized. Yeah. You were really invested in it, and it was really cool to see because not every player does that kind of thing. That sometimes they have a foundation or whatever, and they're just, you know, sort of a figurehead, but it was great to see you involved. And what can you say about that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely wanted to make it more, you know, where I can get around and interact with everybody because, you know, like I said, you probably get set up on a lane and then people wouldn't be able to see me or any other players. So, you know, I just wanted to make it a point, you know, just out there, just getting it, you know, with everybody, having fun, enjoying the day, and, you know, all for a good cause. So, you know, I was running around sweating a little bit.
Are you going to do it again? Is the plan to do that again or something different?
Yeah, that was the first annual. So, you know, hopefully we do it bigger next year.
Was there a final number on what you're able to raise?
Yeah, it was over 10 grand that nice. We raised. So, you know, that all went to Autism Speaks, and, you know, it was a good job, and appreciate everybody who came out. All
right. It was pretty cool. Donovan auctioned off his shoes there. And it was like two of my shoes, you know. I was like, that was pretty scary. I had seen a picture online once of Shaq's shoes, and
not quite that big.
Nah, hey, Shaq, like,
but it was close. It was close. Donovan, on the football side, we've heard this with just the last week. We've heard Jameis, Gerald McCoy, Lavonte David, everybody, all of them have said there's a new vibe with the team, and you can feel it in practice, yeah. Not just among the guys. What does that really mean?
So, basically, you know, I've spoken about it too. You just see that, I guess, that want to from everybody. You know, everybody being out there, you know, it could get, you know, kind of repetitive. Oh, we just out here, OTAs doing the same thing, so on and so forth. But you got guys top to bottom bringing energy and, you know, being excited to be out there to get better and make each other better. And, you know, offensive guys talking to defensive guys and helping them out on, oh, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? And It's just I love it, honestly. So, yeah, you know, the vibe there is definitely lit.
Nice. Lavonte had used the word embarrassed, that he just thought guys were embarrassed from last year, and it started the ball rolling for a much better offseason. Do you buy into that?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I also said, you know, last season was a good season because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they like to sit there and look at the papers and be like, oh, you should have won this, you should have did this, so on and so forth, roster-wise, but at the end of the day, it's the NFL, and, you know, you got to come up and be ready to play night in and night out. So it was more of a humbling season to say that, you know, don't let all that smoke get blown into you, and then, you know, look where we were. So, you know, come back, bounce back, and get it.
But, Donovan, every year, and you know this, one team jumps from the bottom to the top, right. Five new teams make the play, every year for 20 years. So why can't it be Tampa Bay this year?
Hey, why can't it? You know, I guess that's the question. But, you know, we're going to do everything in our power to. Like I said, it just starts with the mentality of each individual guy. And just to be able to see that start now is huge. So to be able to have that drive now and then got to be able to sustain that through training camp and then through the season, you know, the sky's the limit for us.
What's your feeling about Buck fans over the years, Donovan, through three seasons? They stay thick or thin.
Yeah. I definitely do agree with that. We, you know, the real diehard Bucks fans, you know, you definitely gotta tip your hat to them because, you know, as anything, you get tough. But, you know, to be able to stay loyal and true to your team, no matter ups and downs, and ride that wave with us, you know, it means a lot. So, you know, we definitely owe it to them.
All right, now watch this, Steve. Watch this. I've been practicing this question all day long. I want Donovan Smith to unlock a giant secret here.
Hit me.
Donovan, we're hearing from Cutter, Warhop, this guy. We want Marpet at left guard. We're switching him to left guard because of Donovan Smith. We want him next to Donovan Smith. Donovan, what's going on? What's this thing between you and Marpet? What's the reasoning behind this?
That's my guy.
Did you start this? Did you ask for this?
I don't even know, honestly. I just know we play next to each other and at the Senior Bowl, and you know, I've always told Allie, you know, we need to be on the same side, even rookie year. But, you know, he played, what, right
and
guard?
Played well.
Played well, and then went to center, played well. And it's like, hey, you know, come out the left guard, you know. So, but, yeah, no, it's going to be great, you know.
You guys going to have fun together?
Absolutely. You know, we roommates in training camp and everything. So, to be able to have him right there on the left side with me is going to be huge.
Is he on the right side of the bed when
he knows I always want the bed closest to the window.
There you go.
So him moving to the left guard has nothing to do with an attempt to revive your radio show.
Hey, hopefully, I mean, that's up to the fans. That's if they want it. You know, hopefully if they want to hear the Ali Marpet and Donovan Smith show, you know, y'all got to petition it to get it back going.
He was a big fan.
Hey.
Somebody's got to cut a check is always what it comes down to. You know, this is business.
Hey,
so.
My guy will get with their people and we'll work it out.
You know, honestly, the show, you know, which was a Buccaneers radio network, frankly, I don't remember much of what Allie said, but some of the stories of the bowling alley and your growing up, it was just really, you know, I don't know, it's just memorable. I don't know why. I'm sure you got a ton of feedback.
Yeah,
on that.
It's good for, you know, pretty much just us to be able to just sit there and chop it up. But, you know, also giving the fans and listeners a better insight of us and, you know, how we grew up. Because, you know, they just see 76, 74 helmet, you know, jersey, Buccaneers logo, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, to be able to take that helmet off and see us who we really are and, you know, what we've been through is huge. And it kind of gives that personal connection with fans and them.
NFL Network, you know, your buddies at the NFL Network over there, you know. Top 100, voted by the players, this and that. Well, they got through 80 already. There ain't no buck on there, you know. Probably ain't going to be a buck from 0 to, from 1 to 20. Donovan, where's the respect? What's going on?
There's no bucks in there from
no
1 to 100?
No bucks in there. Nothing.
Nobody.
Okay, so that means Gerald is going to be
Not on there. He ain't on there.
Gerald's going to be like 10. Mike's going to be like 8.
There you go.
You know, who else? Levante's going to be like 7.
Quan, you know.
Quan's going to be number 4.
But, Donovan, is that what happened when you win 5 games?
Oh,
that's
man.
What happens?
You know, a lot of things is – when you're winning, it helps a lot of things. I'm just going to be quite frank. Well,
you got
in
the
general,
profile.
In general, if you're winning because I'm pretty sure it's a couple guys you can make cases for, like, oh, he made it over so-and-so
right.
And blah, blah, blah. But, hey, if your team is winning and they got the spotlight, you know, obviously they're going to show and see, you know, what's going on. But
that's human nature, right?
But, yeah, that's human nature. Everybody gets snubbed every year. there's people who get snubbed. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some bucks
so
in
this year, like,
in the top 20.
The Jags will get their due, you know.
Hey,
the Rams.
I mean,
the
they deserve it. They deserve
yeah,
it.
They deserve
I mean, it's well-deserved.
Yeah, right. Gerald actually spoke out on Twitter saying blasting his fellow NFL guys
yeah.
for not voting for
yeah.
the Bucs. So
hey, well,
he seems to know.
They're blind because
I see
Gerald, you know, every day practice and anytime you have to remove Gerald from a drill because he's a wrecker of it.
Oh, really?
Know, that like you're not in top 100 if you have
right.
to be removed. You know what I'm saying? For being too good.
Yeah, keep practice flowing.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
practice, yeah, yeah. Get out. You feel me? So
and Donovan,
like Michael Jordan or something.
Yeah.
Donovan, as an old lineman, you know, looking at the other side of the ball for the Bucks, you got to be thrilled with McCoy because we all feel, you know, now you got a game plan for JPP. Now Gerald don't have to play 80 snaps. Now you can't always double-team McCoy. It's going to help McCoy.
Oh, yeah, it's going to help big time. It's going to help everybody. It's kind of like pick your poison when it comes to offensive line in the meeting rooms and figuring out who you want to block.
Two Super Bowl
you know,
guys.
JPP,
you know.
Vinnie Curry, Bo Allen, Gerald McCoy, Noah Spence, Will Clark, Will Golston. Like
Unrein.
Vita Vey, you know, Mitch. Like, it's like pick your poison. So, you know, it's like depending on who you think is less
less disruptive.
Less disruptive, you feel me? Maybe we'll take our chances over there. But
hold on, one more from me, quick, Donovan.
Hey, it's your podcast.
Lee calls it Lee calls it underwear football, the OTAs. You know, you don't want to read too much into it. You know, you watch everything that goes on out there. Ronald Jones, Donovan. Ronald Jones.
Rojo.
I think he's a key. I think he's a big key going forward as an explosive guy. What do you notice about his attitude and about his skills?
He has to do a better job at giving me my helmet after walkthrough. Rojo.
Well, make sure he hears this podcast.
Rojo, he's a great dude. He's quiet. He's quick, fast. You know, obviously he's a rookie, still getting some things down packed, but. You know, the sky's the limit for him. You know, I'm actually really excited to get the pads on and see him, you know, go. Like you said, it's underwear football, so, you know, a lot of it you kind of slow down and throttle down and stuff. I want to, you know, see him hit it and
is
go.
Is he in the playbook?
Yeah, definitely. You can see he's in the playbook. And, you know, the running back room and Coach Spence does a great job. You know, obviously Coach Spence, he does a great job regardless with all the running backs. But, yeah, you know, I'm just as excited to see him.
Here's the one. It's a little bit touchy, but it's in defense of you. I know NFL GMs and scouts and some coaches I've talked to. When you bring up Pro Football Focus and their offensive line grades, these guys go crazy in a bad way. I mean, they think it's caca. I thought unfairly to you, they had you labeled as an inferior offensive lineman coming out of college. And to this day, there are some Bucs fans that's planted a seed in their head.
Right.
And you could do no right. I mean, you could go out there and have a pancake block every drive. You could not give up a pressure, and they would still scream about
you. Smith.
They'd still scream. Your line mates in the room, what do they think about those grades? Because I know, like, again, suits and scouts, I know they think that's a complete joke.
Hey, listen. They got to get whatever they got to get, however they got to get it, by saying that's whatever they got to say. Right. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what they say or think. You know, right here at One Buck Place, you know, that's all that matters. So, you know, I'm not even going to lie. One day I seen that they had me as worst graded, whatever, and I had an A from all my coaches. So it's like, what are you looking at, and then what are they seeing? So, you know, I don't even pay attention to it.
But this building's the one that counts, right?
Exactly. That's all that matters. The people in this building. Anybody else, it don't even matter to me. My family, it don't even matter to me. So all that matters is the people in this building and my line mates, teammates, and everything. So
I got a good story related to that about how off they are. Villanueva, I know a guy that's he's a Steelers beat writer, and these Pro Football Focus guys were on the sideline at a training camp practice. And I guess they had a special coat or something that said Pro Football Focus, and Villanueva started screaming at me, "Y'all guys' grades suck!" Yeah. I mean, he was hollering at him. The very next year, he was graded by these guys as the top lineman.
Yeah, come on. Hey.
So you're saying Donovan should chew these guys out too?
No, they don't want me to chew.
I know they haven't been here.
You don't want to show them enough
respect. They don't want me to chew them out.
That's right.
I remember you told me this one time. And you went into detail, and it was great. And every once in a while, we'll get a comment like, well, maybe the Bucs won't get Donald Penn, and Donovan can move to right tackle, which is, I think, absurd. But you explained to me how you could not play right tackle. Not so much fundamentals, but left-handed, right-handed kind of issue.
Right.
Could you explain that for people, how that's a lot more difficult than meets the eye?
Yeah, no, I don't think that I couldn't. If I absolutely had to, I can obviously play right tackle, but it's just, you know, being set at left tackle, like, okay, the story was I wasn't good enough to be a right tackle for my left-handed quarterback in, you know, high school or whatever. So they moved me to left tackle. But, hey, it works out, you know, vice versa, because 90-something percent, if not 100% of the NFL are righty. So, you know, it's muscle memory. It's really just all about breaking those habits and being able to shift your body weight. Obviously, you know, I'm probably right side dominant. You know, I got all my weight on my right hand side. I'm right handed, my right leg, stuff like that. But over time, obviously, you know, you'll be able to break it. But yeah, you know, just left tackle is just it's just natural. So
now, what does that mean to you that you're pretty much a rock of stability? If I'm correct, you've only missed one half of football.
Don't jinx the man.
Well, knock wood. One half of football in three seasons.
Yeah,
that's. Bill Parcells said, your best ability is your availability.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, anytime you, as coaches, you know, it's football is stressful. You know, whether good stress, bad stress is stressful. And to be able to, and that's top to bottom. So to be able to alleviate the stresses of knowing who's going to be up and not having to maneuver guys and plug in here and all this other stuff, what if, and just giving them that security that, I know he's going to be out there no matter what. It just makes things, you know, in my opinion, that much easier. So, you know, I just take pride in it for them to be able to just lean on me and know that no matter what, I'm going to be out there unless I absolutely can't.
And it's got to be clean living for Donovan Smith. Clean living is the key to say. Hey, Don, well, one thing that, you know, these two guys, I'm always harping on this. I can't get over it. You were here in 2015 as a rookie. Winston takes every snap, Donovan. You and Marpet are starting as rookies. The offense is fantastic. The balance is tremendous. The run game, Martin's going crazy. Sims was great. And then the last 2 years, the run game dropped off. And give me some of your thoughts why you think it's going to be better in 2018.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be better. Like I said, it's just a humbling season. Just like anything in life, you know, you got to get punched in the mouth for you to be like, oh, wait, let me get my stuff together. You know, we was, if not average, below average in running the ball last year, at least to our, you know, expectations. You know, it's like I said, we just came back, had a self-scout, look at a man in the mirror and say, is that what we want, you know, other teams to see us as? And that's not, you know, who we are. Obviously, like you said, you know, rookie year or whatever it was, we, you know, big rushing yards and running the ball. And, you know, Doug was, what, I think, number two rusher in the league. Yeah. So, you know, that's our expectation every year. And to be able to drop off, it's just like, dang. So then, you know, those punch in the face, you know, it's like gear up, start back over, and, you know, let's make it a point to run the rock.
How big can it be if you run the rock? How big a difference can that make?
It makes a big difference. You know, those guys lined up across us. Anytime they know that you're dropping back 40, 50 times a game, it's like, you know, dealer's choice. You know, offensive line is already at a disadvantage.
Third and eight,
all the
go.
Time. You know what I'm saying? And then you give them that added, oh, it's a pass. It's, you know, it's a fair game. So to be able to sit there and have them on their toes and, well, is it run? Is it pass? Because, you know, we're gutting them for, you know, six, seven yards of carry, whatever it is. It's like, dang, you know, we got to stop the run. But then, you know, you come with play action or something, and then it, you know, puts them on their heels. So, you know, being able to run the ball, it opens up a lot of things for us.
Contract year. I mean, every team has a handful of guys going into a contract year. Nobody likes to talk about money, but, you know, Nate Solder, when he became the biggest paid and left tackle in the game, which I'm sure you saw as a left tackle with the Giants, I was talking to an NFL, someone in personnel shortly after that, and the guy said, you know what, Donovan Smith's film is better than Nate Solder's.
Right.
How exciting is that to you, knowing how you grew up, that, hey, you know, that payday's there in Alley, and your whole class is in that boat?
I mean, it means a lot. It's just testament to a lot of people like to take credit for, you know, our own talent and stuff, but, you know, I like to give it to the coaches, you know, especially for me. You know, Coach Warhop, he's done a great job with me and Allie. He's so technical and describing how he wants things done rather than someone say, okay, go block that guy. You know, he'll tell you he want this footwork, hands here, hat here, feet running this way and that way, so on and so forth, and it just helps us. So, you know, you just got to tip your hat to the coaches, because at the end of the day, you're the one out there playing, but, you know, the coaches are the one who instill those tools for you to go out there and be successful and put you in a place to win. So, you know, you just got to tip your hat to them.
Just talk talk for a minute about Jameis.
A
little bit, Donovan, about the maturity you've seen from the guy. He does the community stuff like you. He's unbelievable on that. How big a year are you expecting for Jameis?
Oh, it's going to be huge. You know, just to see the fire he has, you know, he always has fire, and I think it's times 10 is huge. And, you know, Jameis is a guy who's his will, and it's ridiculous. So for him to be able to see and, you know, like I said, the whole humbling season for everybody, nobody wants that on their record book and under their belt. So, you know, he's going to come back and do everything in his power to make sure it don't happen. And, you know, obviously you see it, you know, conditioning, running and leading the team and, you know, holding each other accountable, having those uncomfortable conversations with guys. So, you know, it's going to be a huge year for him.
I have those uncomfortable conversations with you all the time. I mean, times 10, not even times 2.
We got a big thank you to Donovan.
Huge thanks. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Appreciate
thank
it. You for having
Enjoy
me.
The summer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And stay in Tampa. Have some fun.
All righty. See
thanks,
you.
Donovan.
Appreciate it.
All right, Sage, Lee, how about that? A lot of meat on the bone from Donovan Smith. I'm just going to go right to what stood out to me, Ira. He said Jameis working 10 times, that's the quote, 10 times more Jameis juice in this building to get this team ready for opening day. Your thoughts on that number?
It's kind of scary, Lee. I mean, that doesn't mean that Winston's showing up at 2:15 in the morning instead of 6 and beating everybody in this time by 4 hours. Boy, that's a heck of a comment, Lee. And we know that, look, Jameis said it to us on our podcast. My work ethic is unparalleled. And Jameis Winston's not a braggart, Lee.
No.
But when it comes to that kind of stuff, I've heard him say it before, unparalleled.
Man.
He takes tremendous amount of pride.
And what did Todd Monken say when OTAs began? You don't have to do everything. You know, sometimes he does too much. And that's the first thing I thought of. Like, oh, boy, he's doing things 10 times more.
I think Winston's taking 5-11 personal.
Yeah.
I think he's taking it personal, Steve. And I think that goes along, even though Donovan Smith didn't say that specifically. But, you know, along those lines, Jameis Winston's not the only one who was humbled. And that was my big takeaway from Donovan Smith, is Winston's only the tip of the spear there. They were all brought back to earth rather savagely last fall. You know, he didn't mention Hard Knocks. He didn't mention coming off a 9-win season. But it's there.
Yeah.
We all know that. And we know, you know, look, I'll be the first to say it. I thought they were going to win 10 games. I'll be the first to say it.
Few didn't.
And they were humbled. When you get humbled, you come back hungrier.
Well, I believe, as Donovan Smith said, you got to get punched in the face in life to, you know, fire back.
You're an example of that.
I'm going to pop you later, Ira. Right in the grill there. We're just going to take a quick pause right now. Plenty more from Ira is right around the corner after this chat with Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa general manager Brian Dennehy.
Brian, you must be doing something right. You know, to stay in business for this long, you're obviously got a winning formula. You've been in charge here at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa for several years. How do you keep winning all these awards? Are you tired of winning all these awards that I hear about? What's unique about Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa?
I certainly say we don't get tired of winning them. It is a challenge to win them, but we've won the Dealer of the Year 2 years in a row now. We're a four-time winner of Dealer of the Year. It's an honor that's only given to 20 dealers throughout the country, and it's a privilege. But the way that we do it is really has to do with our team. The car business is notorious for having a lot of turnover, and fortunately for us, that's not the case. We have over 36 employees that have worked with us for over 10 years, and that says a lot about them and their commitment to us. The car business did not go through a good time a few years back, and they stuck with us, and we stuck with them too. And it's about us working together and working with each other. One of the things we've done recently, which really has turned into a great program for us, is we get together twice a month with different people from different departments just to share how we can make our customers' experience better and just sharing ideas between departments, because we all deal with different things. And sometimes you get to get different ideas from different people. And then in turn, how do we make our relationship between our employers and our associates better? So we go on different outings outside of work just to get to know each other a little bit more and have a better understanding. We work together as a family to help give the best experience to our clients.
Ira, I thought when Brian mentioned going out and building a team and working together with the employees, going out for team events, you know, and bonding. I thought you were going to ask about the menu. I was sure you were going to ask.
I'm not going to ask about the menu, but as far as teams go, you know, this is a 13-3 team. This is not a 5-11 team. I've been impressed every time I've been here, and I've been here several times. You've got some good people working for you, Brian, and I know you take good care of them.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's like I said, it's not the general manager. It's everybody else that takes care of our clients that makes the experience for them. So I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
The question is, you know, Lee, is that going to translate into a good season in and of itself?
You know, Winston.
You said the other day, show me. You said show me.
Not only that, but Winston can have the greatest desire on the face of the earth, and he's not running the ball or not running the ball.
And he's not blocking.
Thank you. And he's not trying to cover Julio Jones. That said, we can go on and on and on. So I don't know what to think. You know, it's great that he has this passion, but he shouldn't put it all on his own shoulders.
Speaking of running the ball, Ira, you know, you talked to Donovan about the running backs, and I'm just going to jump away from Smith a little bit because we'll talk about him more in our next podcast. We'll re-listen to the episode and dissect it a little bit, and we got plenty to talk about as we roll through the summer. But today at minicamp, and, you know, we're recording this in advance. As minicamp wrapped up, I asked Dirk Cutter about Peyton Barber. I asked him about Barber coming in and, you know, being the number one guy for the first time in a spring. And did he show maturity? And, you know, how did he handle that? Man, the body language on Cutter, he loves him some Peyton Barber, man. And he was saying that Barber, he looks quicker. And he said, but he's still 235 pounds. Cutter said, I get the weight report from the training staff. He's like, I can't believe the guy's 235 and he looks quicker. He's hard and he's ready. That's a cutter.
What's not to like, Lee? I mean, he had a good December. He did. He ran the ball a lot better than anybody else did for the Bucks last year, including your man, Charles Sims, including. And Lee, you made a good point, and Steve, you too, and we haven't talked about it on a podcast. Look, I've been touting Ronald Jones. I asked Donovan Smith about Ronald Jones. You heard his answer in the podcast. I think he's a key player because he brings a dimension, that dimension, that 28-yard speed, run, yeah. You know, that speed. But, guys.
Explosive play.
But Steve noticed this last week when they went indoors. There was a flare pass to Ronald Jones on the left side. Not only did he show stone hands, but his body wasn't in a good position to receive the ball.
Okay.
He was off balance. It didn't look natural, mm-hmm. like, you know, an Alvin Kamara is going out for a pass or something like that. Steve, talk a little bit about what you noticed there about Ronald Jones.
Well, it was just a simple dump off in the red zone.
You don't
want to
read too much into it. You know?
And he's just an awkward pass catcher right now. Now, I'm not blasting the guy. It is no blast, but he's awkward almost, you know, at least 50% of the time catching the ball. And he's got to be coached up there and developed. He's 20 years old. I'm not knocking the guy. He's here to run the ball. I know Lee's going to say, just give him the damn ball.
Well, I understand.
And we've talked about this.
He didn't square up his body, Lee. He didn't square it up to catch the pass.
I think right now Peyton Barber is 100% the number one guy.
I wouldn't argue that. I wouldn't argue
well,
that.
When Steve said that Cutter likes him some Peyton Barber, well, he's a year too late to come to that party.
Yeah, that's a fair point,
but
too.
It's his party, so he gets
it's
to go.
It's his party.
His party for the time being.
Yeah, our funeral, but his Bucks fans' funeral, but his party. You know what's neat, though? The Peyton Barber thing, which is fascinating, just from because, you know, of course, we, as Bucks fans, we also love all the angles of Bucks fan chatter, right? So if Peyton Barber's the number one guy this year, and he grinds out 1,100 yards for 4 yards a carry, well, that's great. And great for him. It means they developed a running back, whatever. But it also goes back to the whole thing of, hey, you can get a running back anywhere, undrafted Peyton Barber. You know, yeah. Why did we pick a second-round guy, Doug Martin? And, you know, and then that's the whole changes the whole chatter of what are you doing in the draft if you just developed an undrafted guy. It's really interesting the way that's going
to
shake out.
You know, Lee, the guy I've compared him to, and I think it's fair. We have a short sample size. Ernest Graham.
It's perfect.
Ernest Graham, dependable. If there's a 5 yard gain, he'll give you 6. Always falls forward, catches the ball. A winning football player. That's who I'm comparing him to. It's early, but you know what? If he's Ernest Graham, I live with that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Ernest Graham, you know, he went from what, being Mr. August to being dependable?
Steve, you're too young to remember this. But I believe this is the last Buck playoff game, which was against the Giants. Nobody knew the Giants were that good in the 08 season. Nobody.
I remember the game. I'm old enough to remember the
game.
And
I keep coming back to that game because here I am sitting there, and the Giants were a wild card team, you know, and Ernest Graham is running wild in the first quarter. They can't stop him. I believe was JPP on that team? I believe he was.
No, sir.
He was not. Okay, he was not. But certainly they had Michael Strahan, certainly. And defense led them to beat New England.
Jay Alford.
Yeah, they were led by Tuck, and they had those guys. And Graham's going crazy. I think he had 50 yards in the first quarter, 50 yards. And the Bucks are winning. I think it's 7-0 Bucks. Game's at Ray J. Fans are going crazy. And all of a sudden Gruden starts throwing balls to Joey Galloway down the field and going nowhere. You know, with Garcia. And, the Giants were the better team because they ended up winning the Super Bowl. They had a better team. We didn't know it at the time. And they won comfortably. Eli was pretty good. And they had Jacobs, the big, 250-pound fullback. And, you know, they won the game 24-14, something like that. But Graham was the star of the game until Gruden changed the game plan. And that's my memory of Ernest Graham running wild against the Giants.
All right, Sage. Yeah, it's a fun memory, and I'm just rooting for both of these guys.
Fun?
If they can playoff game at home, that's a fun memory. I don't care if they lost anymore. Yeah, that's a miracle. If both these guys can complement each other, Barber and Jones, wow. Because the talent is there for both of the guys, and we'll see. All right, Sage, we'll catch you on Thursday. Lee, you as well, with some new podcasts and some new stuff, and get out of here, buddy.